you turn in your Bibles or turn on your device to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, we're going to be using the New King James Version. When you have that, would you please stand? Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, where these words are recorded. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. But when the crowd, saw it, they all complained, saying, Jesus has gone to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the word of God. Please be seated. This morning I want to tag this text, Saving Zacchaeus. Saving Zacchaeus. Today, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to join me on this journey as I'm led again to examine this interaction that we see in the text between Jesus, our Lord, and Zacchaeus. And as we move together through this text today, I want to call your attention to how the grace of God is at work in the life of Zacchaeus the publican. It is the grace of God that brings him to salvation. And if you are saved today, you have been saved by God's grace also. For the Bible says it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It's God's grace that has brought you out of spiritual darkness and has given you the ability to believe. God's grace. Salvation, if you are saved this morning, you still be reminded that salvation is not the result of your moral upstanding. You're not saved because you're good. Salvation is a gift. It is given to us by God so that none of us can boast about how righteous we are. It's a gift. As we look at Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus this morning, see if you can identify with him as he responds to the Lord Jesus' invitation to relationship and salvation, so that by the end of the day, it can be said of you that salvation has come to your house. The text opens this morning as Jesus is passing through the city of Jericho. In Luke chapter 19, you'll discover, if you read it through, that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he would be joyfully received on Palm Sunday, but violently rejected and crucified on Friday of the same week. As he passes through Jericho, divine providence brought him to encounter a man whom the text says name is Zacchaeus, and he was a tax collector and he was rich. The first thing that we want to point out about Zacchaeus is that he is a Hebrew. He is of biblical Jewish heritage. And I say that intentionally. He is of biblical Jewish heritage. Not born in European soil, but of biblical Jewish heritage. There is a difference that we have to be aware of, that everybody that you see called a Jew may not necessarily be of a biblical Jewish heritage. Zacchaeus is a biblical Jew. Amen. Amen. That's important because it says something about his background. His name is Zacchaeus, which means pure or innocent, which means when he was born, his daddy looked at him and saw something wonderful and named him after what he perceived his son to be. He is a Jewish male, which means he would have been circumcised when he was 8 days old. It was a sign in his flesh of the covenant between Yahweh and Israel. Pay attention. He would have had his bar mitzvah at the age of 13, which means he was familiar with Torah. He knew something about the Exodus narrative, the Passover, the wandering in the wilderness, the land of Canaan, the law and the prophets. He would have heard about the prophecies prophesying about the coming Messiah. He would be like most of us who learned about Jesus in church school. We learned that he was the Son of God, didn't we? Long time ago, we were taught to pray. We learned Bible verses. We went to worship. We were baptized. We partook of the Lord's Supper. Those of us who are of African origins learned how God brought our ancestors through the horrors of physical slavery. Most of us grew up knowing something about God, just like Zacchaeus. And I wanted to point that out because that's a similarity. Here's a man who has grown, but he knows something about God because he was taught that in his childhood. In verse 9, Jesus says that Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. Y'all see that? He's a son of Abraham, which means that he was of the chosen people, right? Biblical Israel is God's chosen because God chose Abraham. You can check that out in Genesis chapter 12. He chose Abraham for a covenant relationship. But watch this. Just as Zacchaeus was chosen by Yahweh for relationship before he was born, you also were chosen by God for relationship with him before you were born. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ so that we could be holy and without fault before him. Zacchaeus and us, very similar. The first point I want you to see this morning is the fact that if you are listening today, it's because the Lord chose you. He has chosen you. If you're listening today, he has chosen you for salvation, chosen you for relationship, and chosen you to fulfill his purpose in your life. Zacchaeus seems an unlikely candidate for salvation when you read the record. He's a tax collector, and he was rich. He became rich by using his position as a publican, working directly for the Roman oppressor, And he was despised by his own people. He was hated because he was a thief. He was an unlikely candidate for salvation. Zacchaeus helped support the socio-political and economic structures that kept his people oppressed. He was motivated by personal interest to move up the corporate ladder, and he did it well. He was willing to learn what he had to learn and do what he had to do in order to achieve the status that he had, and he was proud of it. And those people who talked about him, he just labeled them as the haters. By Rome's standard, by the empire's standard, he was a success. He was a boss. He had lower level tax collectors working for him. He had the big bag. He had the bank. He lived in the big house in the exclusive section of Jericho Hills. He had the latest model high-end chariot. He wore the finest robes and the best sandals that money could buy. For him, it was all about the bag. He did not care who he cheated. He had no compassion for the poor. He worked for the Roman Empire, but with all that he had, there was still something missing from his life because he was chosen. Something was missing. And that's how it is for the chosen who have not yet encountered Jesus. God has placed something in you that won't let you be satisfied regardless of your achievement, regardless of what you have, regardless of your position or prosperity. If you are chosen, the reason you are uncomfortable and can't find satisfaction in your life is because you can only find it in relationship with Jesus. There was something in him that drew him to Jesus. When Zach heard that Jesus would be passing through, the work of the Holy Spirit began in his heart. God began to tug at his heart and moving on his mind. He had to see who Jesus was for himself. He had heard about Jesus, heard about him raising the dead and healing the blind, and all of that stuff, dividing loaves and walking on. He had heard about Jesus, but now God was working in him that required him, that demanded him to see Jesus for himself. Amen. Because Zach was short in stature, he couldn't see over the crowd. So the Bible says that he ran ahead of the crowd, and as sophisticated as he was, as well-dressed as he was, he climbed up into a sycamore fig tree in order to get a glimpse at Jesus. We need to pause here so I can tell you that there are some forces in the world that are designed to keep you from seeing Jesus. They're subtle. It's in your movies. It's in your music. It's in your printed literature. And it's all designed by the enemy to keep you from seeing Jesus. There's a way of thinking that prevents you from pursuing Jesus. There are material mountains of stuff that block your blessing from seeing Jesus. God calls for relationship, but the enemy doesn't want it. He does not want you to meet your Savior. He doesn't want you to be all that God has designed you to be. And he'll do what he can, whatever way he can, to keep you separated from God. So you have to find your way around it. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Zacchaeus was short of stature, and the crowd was in his way. So the Bible said he ran ahead of the crowd. Sometimes you got to leave your so-called friends. Amen. Sometimes you have to separate from your acquaintances so that God can work in you what God wants to work in you, so that God can do for you what God designed to do for you. Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd. He climbed up in a tree. Verse 5 says, when Jesus came to the place where he was, Jesus looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he, Zacchaeus, made haste, came down, and received Jesus joyfully. Here's the second observation that I want to make this morning as we move through this text. The second observation, the Lord knows your name. Zacchaeus was called by a lot of names by a lot of people, but the Lord knew his name. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was pleasantly surprised that Jesus knew his name. When the Lord spoke to him, it was the beginning of a spiritual awakening. Faith comes by and hearing by. God wants you back, and he knows your name. You belong to God, and he wants you back. He knows your name because he knows you. He's the one who has protected you from dangers that would have destroyed you, dangers seen and unseen. Have I got a witness in here this morning? He's the one who's provided for you and preserved you even in the loins of your ancestors on slave ships. He's the one that brought you through. He guarded your steps. He gave you success. He comforted your heart. He blessed you with skills and talents and gifts and career and vocation and ability. He is the one who opened doors for you. He knows your name because he knows your history. He knows your passions. He knows your desires. He knows your struggles and he knows your strength. He knows your faults and your failures and your fears. He knows the secrets of your heart. And with all of that, he still invites you into relationship with him. He knows your shortcomings, so you don't have to prop yourself up. Zacchaeus was short. He had to prop himself up. Jesus says, come on down. You don't have to do that. You come down, I will exalt you. No need to be high-minded. No need to be ostentatious or pretentious. He already knows all about you. He knows your name. He sees you unclothed. He made you. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do in his name, in his kingdom movement on earth. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus was chosen before the foundation of the world, and so were you. Zacchaeus would be saved by grace, and so are you. God had a plan and purpose for Zacchaeus, and God has a plan and purpose for you. This last point, and I'm finished. The Lord wants to get up close and personal. Jesus was welcomed into Zacchaeus' home. Zac didn't text ahead and make special preparation to receive Jesus. He didn't tell a bartender to move all the Henny bottles. He didn't tell Jesus to wait until he got himself together. Jesus accepted Zac just as he was, and he accepts you just as you are. He didn't tell Zac, you got to change your ways. He just said, I'm coming home with you. Jesus accepts you as you are, but your relationship with him transforms you from the inside out. We become new creations in Christ. There's an instantaneous change in our status before God. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, but there's a gradual and consistent change in our lifestyle and behavior. We can't be with Jesus and stay the same. It's a life that moves toward God. It's a life that delights in worship. It's a life that's consistent in service to God and to people. Jesus was a guest in Zacchaeus' home, and it was Jesus present in his home, not in the church, that transformed Zacchaeus' life. You come to this place, you come to church to hear the word and to fellowship, but transformation happens at home. It was his up-close personal relationship with Jesus in the privacy of his own prayer life that changed Zacchaeus' heart. And it is up-close personal relationship with Jesus by faith that changes your life and mine. And some of us here can testify about our personal relationship with Jesus that has transformed us over the years. And while we are still not all that we ought to be, we thank God that we are not what we used to be. Old things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, since Jesus came into our hearts. Zacchaeus had a changed perspective of life in Christ. He remained prosperous. He held his position as a chief tax collector, but became a blessing that God intended him to be. He can use you in your position where you are. He had a transformed perspective. Amen. He had a transformed business practice. No longer would he put profit over people. He became generous and kind and thoughtful and sensitive to the needs of the poor. He had a transformed sense of purpose. He became a kingdom resource. It was while Jesus was a guest at his house that Zacchaeus was born of the Spirit. It is not what he said that proved his conversion. It is what he did. Look at verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said, "Look, Lord, I give," not "I will give," "I give," present tense, "I give half my goods to the poor. I don't need all that I have. I can live very comfortably and still have more than I need, even if I give half of it away. I give half my goods to the poor citizens of the kingdom of God. And if I have taken from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold. If I'm wronged anyone, I will make restitution." And Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Lord, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which was lost." Sin separated us from God, and we were lost. We were lost away from the kingdom, separated from God and from our inheritance. But Jesus, the Son of God, the salvation, our Savior, Messiah, came seeking to save the lost. And today he calls your name and waits for you to respond. He wants to enter into your heart and into your home. You were chosen for this. Invite him in by faith. Let me close with this. There was a famous painting called The Light of the World. It was a famous painting early in the late 19th century. It was the work of an English painter, William Holman Hunt, and he painted his interpretation of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, the risen Christ, glorified Christ, speaks and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Y'all know that one? "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Hunt painted an allegory, a picture, which shows an image of Christ carrying a lantern and knocking at the door of a little cottage in the wood. The door had no handle on the outside. The door is overgrown with weeds and nails, and hinges are rusted, implying that the door has never been opened. It's the door of some of our hearts. The message is, it's up to you to open the door, because the only handle is on the inside. Open the door this morning and allow him to come in. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Floods of joy all my soul, like the sea fill a roll since Jesus came into my heart. Have I got a witness this morning? Is there anybody here today glad that you allowed him to come into your life?